So let's stand and welcome John Paul. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Am I on? Yes, thank you. I can hear now. Very good, very good. Thank you. Father, bless this gathering together. Let them see something they have never seen. Let them go where they had never been. Become somebody they had never been before. In the name of Jesus, we all say, Amen. Praise God. Thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. It all happened suddenly in the year 2009. And people were just withdrawing and forgetting and dropping. You know, something about God. He's the friend sticketh closer than a brother, right? Who is a friend? When the world walks out, the friend walks in. Eh? So it looked like, you know, 14 churches dropped out their support. Another 6 people dropped off. They all had some financial problem, they said. Well, faith churches too. And our God is greater than all. Because I said our motto is never stop doing our best, even if nobody gives you credit. There is always somebody who's watching you. Amen? I used to say at Xerox where I work, you cannot keep the good man down. He'll always come on top, praise God. If your boss doesn't recognize in your company, somebody will. So go there. Praise the Lord. Suddenly, you know, if in the natural looks like the bottom is falling, in the supernatural, the top was opening. Amen? So that's when everybody stopped supporting, except 2 or 3 who are still supporting a ministry, this is what God started doing. Amazing things. We have been preaching to 50,000 people, 40,000 people each day crusade. Suddenly, when the natural support gone, the supernatural support came. God took us in front of this kind of people. This year we had a tremendous ministry. We become like a teenagers again. I mean, month has 30 days, but we had 50 meetings in 30 days. Some of the meetings are 8 hours. They said, don't stop. We don't care about lunch. We'll sit. So we had 8 hours, 7 hours straight. And God has blessed us, given us Zoe energy. And some of them we are going to show you. Crusades, conferences, seminars, rallies, pastor's seminar, pastors, I mean, 600 of them come. And the family, they just dedicate their life and revolutionize with the word of God. Amen. The Spirit and the word will do the job. So we were brought in front of this kind of crowds. We'll see that, and you will know what that means. Let's roll it. First one we'll see, first two will be like conferences, all-day seminars, where, you know, a few thousand, 10,000 people come. And then the rest of them goes into a different digits number. Praise the Lord. Millions each year. Praise God. Souls are getting blessed. And I tell you, when we resigned our job from a 6-digit income to go all the way to India, never regretted. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing in the kingdom of God. Your hand upon our lives, and these people have a part by praying, by supporting, and they are an encouragement. You brought us to see them. We're all part of the ministry. Let this word change their future as never before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to speak to you from Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Verse 34 onwards. I'm going to read 3 or 4, maybe. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them made fun of, mocked, saying, "He saved others." They didn't say he saved us. Saved others. He saved others. Let him save himself if he be the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." And the superscription also was written, it's by Pilate, over him, in letters of Greek for the intellectual, for Latin for the religious, and Greek for the spiritual, "This is the king of the Jews." And one of them, thief, malefactor, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other thief, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And he, this man, is testifying about Jesus. We justly, for we receive the due reward of our deed. But this man had done nothing wrong." Testimony from a thief. And verse 42. The most powerful statement. He said unto Jesus, "Lord." He wasn't looking like a Lord. Of all the people in the whole world, none of them thought he was Lord. There was no kingship visibly made, manifest. 33 years ago, wise men came looking for him as a king. And where are they? Probably they were dead and gone. They are not at the scene of the cross. The chief priest didn't think he was the Lord. Pilate said he was the king of the Jews, just mockingly. He didn't become a believer. Said, "I find no fault till I crucify him." It's a mockery. And the disciples went and cast out the devil, healed the sick. They didn't know he was the Lord. There are a lot of people in this world I see. You know, with the grace of God, I was saved at the age of 12 and started preaching in late teenage years. So far, we have ministered in 2,088 different churches in the world. We have seen a lot of faces. Pentecostal Church, Assemblies of God, Church of God, United Pentecost, the UPC, Jesus Only Group, Catholics, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Baptist, Christian Church. We are preaching different. They all invite us. We like your faith message. Give it to us. And we've seen different kinds of people. I'm telling you today, there are situations in life that will challenge who you are. Impossible test, impossible challenges will test you the same time that will prove him. Amen? Whatever test you has come to prove him. who he is in your life. Here we see this crowd. This man said, Lord, my God. How did he get that revelation? None of those people. Look at this. Jesus is there. There is a congregation in front of him. There are a lot of people in church. Many of them don't think much of the pastor. They criticize behind. They talk negative. Some even very close to him, standing next to the cross, maybe working in the office. Derided. One man saw what nobody saw. Everybody heard what Jesus said. It's not a seven word. There are seven sayings. There are 52 words in seven sayings. The first saying was 10 words. In the first saying, Father, forgive them. He looked at him. Forgive them. They are mocking. They caused him to bleed to death. He says, forgive them? What kind of man is this? And he has the power to forgive the whole world. He must be the king. Amen. He must be superior to all. Because the forgiving people are the superior people. Amen. Even the worst sinner, Jesus said, where are they who condemned thee? You know, lady, before they saw you, I knew you're going to do all these things. I can read your thoughts. He didn't say that. Where are they? No one, Lord. Nobody condemned you? In that scene of John 8 chapter, Jesus was sitting and bending down. The woman is standing upright. In the presence of the master, the worst sinner has a dignity. The Savior is bending down to let the sinner stand up. If she was standing in the midst of the crowd, I come closer to the master. Look at me one more time. And Jesus said, they didn't condemn you? Neither do I condemn. A lot of people come accusing somebody. You know what he did? You just say, he didn't condemn. Neither do I condemn. Get back to your car. Get out of my sight. This man said, Lord, ha ha, remember me. He recognized his lordship. The same time he recognized his need, his guilt. The closer you come to the Lord, the more need you see in you. Mm-hmm. And he was the closest one, except the other one. And this guy said, don't you fear God? I think they may have attended church. They must be Jews too. I don't know. Because Gentiles don't fear God. They don't. These people probably went to synagogue. Hey, don't you remember God? Fear him, man. Don't talk about this just man. You heard that governor said, I find no fault. The chief of the state said, he didn't do anything wrong. I don't know why he's dying. I think he's dying for us. And he said, Lord, I have a need. I know I'm a worse sinner. The city didn't want me. The law condemned me. They don't even want me to be alive in a prison. They want me to be out of sight. I don't have an opportunity to go and get a lamb. Be thou my lamb, Lord. With all my amount of sin I have committed, no law can forgive me. I can't find a priest. Be thou my priest. My hands are tied. Can't go down. Remember me. How can he talk like that? When a man who is willing to humble himself, the Holy Ghost starts working. When he began to open his heart, the door of the kingdom opened up for him. I'm telling you today, the message is, the title could be, Worst, Best from the Worst. And he said, when you come in your kingdom, my God, he said, this is not the end. I don't see you finish your life like this. You're going to rise again. You're going to rise again. And when you rise again, you're going to be different. You're going to enter into your kingdom. And you're going to bring the kingdom with you. He talked the first coming. He talked the second coming. He talked the millennial kingdom rule in one sentence. Amen. Because his life was changed by one sentence. Father, forgive them. He included himself in it. Remember me in the list, Lord. Amen. So let us look at this fellow. How can he talk like that? He was despised, emotionally broken. He was rejected, physically in pain. His mouth is speaking good things. Must be the top man in the Grace Fellowship. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't say, my mom and dad didn't raise me good. That's why I ended up Jesus. You know me. I was a good kid. All my friends forsook me. That's why I got caught. He never talked about the past. He talked about the future. Why? If you want your past to be erased, start living a good future. No one will talk about how many times he divorced, how many times you drank, how many times you were in prison, how many bad things you did. Because your future changes your past. Amen? This prisoner, this thief said, remember me, Lord. I know you are going to rise up. I know you are going to come again. This time you are not going to come in a manger. You are going to come as a king with a kingdom. Hallelujah. The worst sinner in the whole city can preach the best sermon. Let me ask you. If the worst sinner in the excruciating pain can talk the best thing, you should all talk better than that. Amen? No member of a church of Grace Fellowship should badmouth anybody. Look at these three kinds of people. Who are they? Oh, these public people and the ruler derided him. Sounds like a derailed from the track. Derided him. Oh, public. It's like an ungodly crowd. And the soldier mocking. And the thief raided, railed on him. Another kind of railroad. It's like an ungodly crowd. It's like the sinner crowd, like the scornful crowd. All three crowns here. This thief did what Psalm number 1 said. He avoided this crowd talking. And then what did he do? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law, word of God. In his word he meditates. Meditates when? At night. So did he do that? Yes. He avoided this wrong crowd. They're talking. He meditate on the living word next to him. What the word said, he was meditating. Then he was planted in a different location. Paradise. Amen. Hallelujah. Make up your mind, folks. Let us never say any negative things. You know, I mean, a lot of fasting. I've seen fasting. I preach in fasting. The best fasting I like is this. Fasting from talking negative things for 30 days. They'll change your life around. When you talk negative things, bad things about others, you will begin to see good things about your future. This man said, look at what a wonderful God, our God. If your heart is trying to humble and want to be close with God and meditate on the good things you hear, he heard all this talk. He also heard the talk from Jesus. He chose the right one. Amen? When you do all these things, your future is going to be far better than the rest of the crowd in the world. Amen? When his heart was good, he was almost doing the word of God. Just like creation. 7 days creation like a 7 dispensation. First was light. Adam in the innocent days, he was clothed with the glory of God, which is the light. Second day, the water separation. That's the Noah's days, the water. Then third day, the dry land appeared. Noah's days again. And then let the earth bring forth the blessing upon earth, Abraham dispensation, promise. And then the law and the order, which is the Moses covenant. And then fifth day, let the water bring forth the fish. That is the grace dispensation. Fish are Christians. And the same water brought forth the fowls. You know that? The water brought forth 2 kinds of Christians. Fish like a Christian. You see the fish sign. You also see the dove sign. These fish Christians are the Baptist Christians, baptized in the water. The fowl type of Christians are the Holy Ghost filled, flying high. Amen. Then the sixth day, the living creatures and the living creation, Adam, they came. Look at the way God did. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, God saw the light was good and he divided the light from the... Everybody say, speak. When you speak from your mouth, when you let out, respond, the word of God will get inside you. Amen. Let's say amen. Something opens up now, praise God. So, he divided the light from the darkness. And then he separated the water from the water. Genesis 1:6. Let the waters divide from the water. The water in the ground level, the water in the sky level. And then he divided the earth from the water. Let the dry land appear, Genesis 1:9. He separated the dry land from the water. First, he called the light. He called the water. He called the dry land. Whatever he calls, whoever he calls, he separates from the dark crowd, wrong crowd. Amen? So once you get separated, he starts filling. Why some people's life not filled with a blessing? They are not really separated. They still have the old smell. They still have the old association. Whatever he separated the light from the darkness. And then the Genesis chapter 1:14, let there be lights now. In the light, he created the lights, sun, moon, and stars. He calls and separates. Whatever he separated, he fills. Separated the water from the water. He filled the water with the fish, the sky with the fowl. Separated the dry land from the water, filled the dry land, plants and the living creature. Amen? Moving thing and human being. That's what he does. This sinner, thief, separated himself, saturated in the living word next to him. That one sentence, he meditated. I tell people all over the world, wherever I go, we go to so many countries, been to 30 countries only so far. We're planning for 20 more countries if the Lord delays his coming. And even today she was saying, we're going to go to New Zealand soon. We're going to go to Indonesia. Yes, we're going to go a lot of places. And China, we are planning for China. I'm telling you, people are so hungry. And this trip we were overseas, big pastor, big nationwide preachers fighting. Come to our meeting. Preach here. Don't go there. They were all friends too. And I gave him a list. I text him. I have this January 1st, that meeting, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and for March, May month, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and that meeting, and 3 days, this meeting, 6, 7, 8, and all out of town. One, we fly to Mumbai, another thing to Chennai, all out of town, different states. And I gave him a list. One man said, all those, I don't know, you have 3-day match for any game you have? Football one day, baseball one day, basketball one day. You don't have any match, 3-day match. No. There's a game called cricket. Have you seen cricket? Except USA, every country plays. We have a 3-day match in cricket. Yeah, people come. Second day used to be 5-day match, reduced to 3-day match. And then they have 1-day match and 3-day match. It's fantastic. He said, all those 3-day matches, nothing compared to 1-day match with me. Said. I said, we'll go 3-day meeting here and 3-day meeting there. We'll come in between 1-day meeting also. I mean, we had stretched ourselves. And then our office staff in India said, Pastor, just looking at the schedule spins our head, but you are doing it. Hey, guys, take vacation. We don't want to hear your bad mouthing. We are going to go solo, and so they also join. So it is so wonderful. This sinner guy, all his life, he was stealing, right? At least the last moment, he changed. He was stealing whose money? Tell me. Huh? People. Oh, he was punished for that. I don't know what should be done for those who are stealing God's money. He was stealing, but still he was talking good. Praise God. And this man said, I don't care what others talk about you. I see something different about you. Look at what happened. Jesus is hanging. Everybody is mocking, ridiculing. Suddenly, one sweet sound he heard. Lord! He turned, looked at him. What happened? Nobody respected him, right? Only one man respected him. So Jesus was attracted. You always will attract whom you respect. Understand that? You'll always attract whom you respect. I told in one of the Grace Church, I said, the way that woman takes care of the puppy, my God, if she does to the husband, he would not have left her. Oh, nobody in this church like that. I said, okay. Some people take care of the puppy more than the man. I've seen people like that. My own cousin faced this situation in India. Good educated, both of them. He was on his way to Scotland for a Bible college, getting in the airport. Suddenly the girl, fiancé, came running to the airport and stopped him at the security check. You're supposed to marry me. Why are you going to Bible college? He changed his mind and married her. You would have been a preacher along with me there. And she began to raise dogs, all breeds. And this man said, I cannot live among dogs. I don't get to eat. My own cousin said, my God, he goes for purchase for the dog food, not for me, man. So this sinner, this thief, respected him when everybody ridiculed. He could have thought, this priest, they know him better. He said something wrong about him. Maybe something wrong. He went beyond the priest. And what did he say? Lord, remember me when you talk to me. Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. How long that's going to take place? He died, rose up, went to heaven. How long it's going to take for him to come back in the kingdom? Approximately how long? How many thousand years? He wanted, when you come 2,000 years from now, will you give me a pot? Jesus looked at him. You don't need to wait 2,000 years. You have such a revelation. You said what you believed. You are a faith man. Because you saw your future in me. You're a faith man. You don't need to wait 2,000 years. Today. Ha ha! Hallelujah. Everybody say, today is my best day. I see my big future. Hallelujah. Don't worry about the past. In Jabez's life, what did Jabez do? His mother called him pain in the neck, right? That's why he named. Jabez means pain. Bore him in pain. I don't know. He gave a pain or no cesarean anesthesia in those days, she had pain, maybe. I don't know. Named him, hey, Mr. Pain. Jabez means pain. Hey, pain, come here. Pain, come and eat. Oh, my God. What did he pray? He didn't pray, change my mother, change my future. He was not chasing the shadow of the past, what's behind him. He was following the light. He sought the Lord, who is the light. If something is holding on in your mind, in your life, about somebody, let them go. Amen? Leave them. Forgive them. In Luke chapter 17, I didn't preach that message here, I'll just give you nuggets. Capsule form. You know, I always preach 5-6 messages in one message. Philip Durbin will say, I got 6 messages today from you, man. Sure. Too much stuff in me. What to do? I don't come often here. Lord given, I just want to share it. Luke 17, chapter 37 verses. First 2 is about getting offended. If you offend one of these, who? Who gets offended then? Who gets offended? You just said it. Who gets offended? Yeah. If you get offended, you are? And little ones are the ones get offended. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. We were in one Assemblies of God in Missouri. Pastor was same age as mine. We were both 27 and 26, probably. And he just came from CBC, Central Bible College, graduate. Very energetic young man. But he did something I didn't agree. I knew the Lord since age 12. I was preaching in the streets. I was preaching in the train. I was preaching in the buses. And he did something I didn't agree. We had a board meeting, once in a year meeting, you know, what you call an annual meeting, right? In that meeting, he said something, oh, we need to raise some fund. All you bring your hats and coats and this, we need to sell, rummage sale. I stretched my hand. We don't need to sell the old hats for Jesus. To get the money, preach the word, money will come. You know what he said? You're from India, you don't know what America is. Will you keep quiet? I said, okay, sir. I was one of the 3 deacons there. And then, okay, another thing happened. And then he said, you need to sell that property, and then probably you need some money. I said, preach the word, Pastor. That's a good property for our retreat center, a lot of trees and everything. Will you keep quiet? You're from India. You don't know. Before I came to America, America came to me in India because I was with all the great Maurice Cerullo in India. I was the interpreter, all the great men of God. I knew Americans before I came to America. But I said, okay, Pastor. And then the people, all our members, still looking. Are you still here? Are you still sitting? I said, yes, I'm still here. And the meeting was over. I went straight to the pastor. He said, oh, sorry, brother. I offended you, right? I didn't mean. You can try some more. You're my pastor. You can try some more. So he can learn from me, right? You try some more. Great peace I have. Nothing can offend me. And so when we left the church, people literally shed tears. We moved from Missouri to Rhode Island, and everybody stood up, and I preached the last sermon that day. There are offenses will come. How do we react shows the size of our being. You know, when you go and enter into somebody's property, somebody's home, and then the little kids play, they throw a stone at you. Do you pick up a stone and throw back? If you do that, you are grade 1. Yes, oh, it's all right. Don't do that, Kate. Come on, give a hug and go, right? A lot of people try to tit for tat and do little and... So this man said something that not offended Christ, that defended Christ. Amen? He built a reputation. Hey, guys, I'm standing higher than you on the cross, right? Listen to my message. They all have to hear him because they're all standing down and looking up. This man is sinless. This man is the king of the universe. This man is rising from the dead. This man is coming again to this world. This man is coming to establish the kingdom. I'm going to be with him. Hallelujah. We should talk like that. We should talk like that. See, here's the Lord Jesus Christ, full of grace, right? Because of grace only, he forgave all. The difference between grace and faith. What time is it? Am I going to? Oh, fine. Okay. So, you are hearing something that's going to change your future. I'm telling you. When we give altar call, that 3 million, 2.5, 500,000 say we want to change. It's a radical change. We teach a lot of things there. What you don't see doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's waiting to hear you speak. Then it'll show forth. When I teach like that in that crowd, my God, they just really want everything they want. And then when you share the message, amazing result. We are full of joy, you know. We finish the crusade. We come back home. We see a miracle blessing, one after another. And at that time, we had one interesting thing I want to tell you. You have to speak against all the odds. Amen? Once you get a revelation, don't be afraid of the others. Speak it out. This man heard it. So Jesus was standing full of grace, forgiving everybody. That's grace. But it didn't help anybody except this one fellow. How did that help him? Because he said it. Amen? You don't get the blessing of grace except through faith. You understand that? And, you know, people think they got a revelation of grace, they are preaching. Grace is what God gives us. Faith is what we give to God. If you show faith, you get to whatever you want, right? These are the thing. We like grace from God. God likes faith from us. Without that, he's not happy. So when you show faith, you know what it does to him? It honors him. Hey, this guy thinks I'm bigger than the Red Sea, man. This guy thinks I'm greater than all the army around him. My God, that honors him. Amen? Your faith honors God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You want to hear this revelation? I'll give it to you. Brother Jack is not here. You tell him we heard something. I'm going to tell you. What's the most important thing in your body? Good. And then next to that? Brain. How come you pass both tests? First is what? Heart. Second is? Brain. Heart is the most important thing, right? And brain is the next important thing. Same way, grace is the most important thing. Next is faith. For you to live in this world, you need faith. The just shall live by, not grace. You know why just doesn't live by grace? Everybody is living by grace. Sinners in the prison are living by the grace of God. Otherwise, he would have been dead the moment he committed sin. The grace of God keep them alive. Everybody is living by grace. So just doesn't have to live by grace. Just goes higher than grace. Benefits. Benefits. Grace is the foundation. Everybody needs foundation. That's not enough. You don't want to sleep in the foundation. You need walls. You need the building. That's faith. All foundation looks same. Grace is same for all. But the building is different. Why? The faith is different. So, within brain and the heart, the brain works because of the heart. Your faith works by love. Love and grace and mercy are synonymous. You see? So let's look at this now. So you have need of a job. So you go for an interview. The guy says, oh, you want a job? What do you have to offer? What do you have? Let me see your application. You are writing, I have a very good heart. You have a very good heart? Huh. That's good for the family life. You can go home. What do I need? I need your... Your livelihood is not from your heart. From your brain. See what I mean? So, it is so important. Jesus never asked anybody, what happened to your grace? In fact, he never said the word grace in his mouth. Look at that. All the time for the people who followed him, where is your? He didn't say, what happened to your grace, man? You lost your grace? No, no, you never lose grace. You never lose grace. It's always there. It's your faith in the grace is shaky. That's why you are not blessed. Amen? You understand? I'll go one more step. My revelations are very funny and strange. But it has a heavy impact. So inside your body, the most important thing is what? Heart. Let's look at outside our body. There are six sets of things that's outside our body. The eyes, nose with two holes, and the two ears, and mouth, two lips, two hands, two feet. These are outside. These are the one functioning, our life, right? So in this, which one is the most important? You can live without hearing. Which is the most important? You are seriously looking at me. I want to make you smile. What's the most important thing outside your body? Without that, you'll be dead. Nose. Close it. Your heart is gone. Right? And what other two things are important in your body that keeps you living? Mouth, and then you need to work to earn money, right? So you work with your feet or you work with your ear. So now we come. Out of the six, three are the most important. Listen. With the nose, does it help anybody? Your nose helps anybody? Your nose helps you. with your mouth, can you help anybody? Yeah, they were good people. Said, yes, you talk good about others. You recommend somebody for the job. Say good things. With your hand, you can help anybody? Sure, you write checks. You lift up people, a hug, so many things. And give a hand, give a... So, this is the grace. Why? When a child is born, what is the first thing it does? Breathes. That's the child asks mama how to breathe. No? It's given by God. Understand? And the mouth, it doesn't talk immediately, right? It needs to learn. And then the more he learns how to talk, the better his earning. Amen? Amen? The more he learns skill with his hand, better his earning, livelihood. This is grace. This is faith. This is works. You see what I mean? Even faith without works will be no food going, man. Mouth won't even move. You see what I mean? So it is so important. Preaching on grace and getting it up. I preach grace in a crusade. You don't need to do all works. You don't need to climb mountain. You don't need to do this. He has done it for you. It's all free. Amen? And then after they get saved and come into the church, I preach grace to them. Yeah, I may have to preach grace because they backslide. When my feet slips, your grace sustains me. Psalm 48 said that. So, who needs grace? Sinner. Who else needs grace? Are you backsliding? No. Make me fumble again. You mess up again. You need what? Grace. Grace gives you life. Faith gives you livelihood. Grace keeps you existing. Life gives you living. Jesus said, I come to give you life. And then what? Grace and faith. You understand that? Otherwise, you will be confused. You don't know what. When you understand this is important, faith is important, you will learn more about faith. Because that gives you better life, better talking, better giving. You see, these two are important. You are getting a Bible course of several months. Do you understand? I was in East Coast. I'm still there. And we moved there 3 years, but we don't live 3 years. Because most of the year we are out of the country. And we preach while we are in U.S. Once in a while we don't have preaching, we take a break, we go to one church, 10, 15,000 member church, big one, East Coast. That church is a fantastic church. That man of God invite for the last 30 years pastors from 120 countries giving an airline ticket, putting them in a Sheraton hotel, train them 1 week. What a man of God. Never seen a church like that. I've been to so many other churches, 13,000 member church. I preach in California, 10,000 in Dallas, 8,000. But I never seen a man of God. This man of God also invites students from all over the world for a Bible college. 2 years Bible college in 5 months because they get 6 months visa. They finish 5 months and go. In 5 months, 62 courses. I'm teaching four in that. Because in that church, when we were sitting, suddenly we were new to that place. This man of God, you know, big auditorium, about 60 feet high, tall, big auditorium, several thousand. He looked at me while preaching, and then he came to me and said, "You!" Me? "Yeah, I want to work with you. Talk to me." And then preach, and then he came again. "Holy Ghost is telling me, I don't know you." "We don't know." "You got stuff." He said that. I looked at my wife, "What's he saying?" "You got stuff. We want to hear from you." And then I went back 3 months later, and then he said, "Call me. Come. Have you thought about teaching?" "Yes, yes, yes." And then the third time he asked me, I said to her, "I think we better do it." This great man of God, he was the one who invited Joseph Prince to America when he was 200-member church. He gave him airline ticket, trained him 1 week, trained him in faith only. And then Creflo Dollar, T.G. Jake, they used to be there under his care. His name is David DiMola in East Coast, one of the best faith preachers. And so we are teaching Bible school there. 86 different country students come there. I took it. It's all free. They don't pay us because everything is free for them. Nice town home, modern furniture, you know, Martinville and Thomasville kind of furniture, nice food. What a training. He loves those people. 86 country students. In my class alone, 16 different countries. So I took it, said, it's like going. You know what happened? The first day I began to show about giving, I was talking, I don't know if you didn't come to Frankfurt. I was, you know, just talking, sowing doesn't do, man. You will forget it. So I told them, Rockefeller was a man, many Americans also don't know. Rockefeller, when he was about 20, 22 years old, he was standing in the sidewalk. Every evening he was giving money to those people at 5 p.m. every day. The next day he brings money. People asked him, "Are you a pastor? Why are you giving money freely?" But he said, "I'm not a pastor. I found one verse in the Bible. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm trying." And he became a millionaire at the age of 24. Amazing. So when I preach that, I tell them, if I tell that, you forget. If I show, you won't forget. So this is what Rockefeller did. I was giving money. I did that in Frankfurt. Then sad faces changed. I said in pastor's meeting, I teach about giving, and then suddenly I take a bundle of money from pocket. In this side, Indian money, this side, American money. Who wants American dollars? Everybody jump up, you know. Hey, it's for those who go to America. Oh, we want to go one day. That's why we want to touch America. So all these 1 or 2 hours of teaching, people were very serious listening. So when I took money, my video cameraman knows that. He will come immediately to catch all the face. Oh, man, change complexity. My God, you know. So I said, Rockefeller did that. He became the richest man in America. And then he was about to die at the age of 53. This also many people don't know. And the doctor said, it's over. You got a very bad disease. Nobody can cure. So you're going to die. Set things in order. So he said, I'm going to die in a couple of weeks. So he called all the accountant, everybody. How much money I have? They gave account. 50% of this, send it to all the mission field and charity. The other 50% maybe for the family. And he started giving that. His sickness changed. He died at the age of 96. People don't know the secret. I tell people, if you do these 5 things, you'll never be sick. I'm an example. We are a healthy couple. More than 40 years, never had a headache. I don't have my own. I don't take others also. I've been a pastor. I don't do too much counseling. Oh, a lot of garbage. Okay, assistant, you take care of it. I don't want to hear all that. It's your headache. You created it. You learn from my preaching and you remove it. Remove your mountain. It's your mountain. Jesus said, you speak to the mountain and then come for your desire. What things soever you desire. Don't come to solve your problem. Nobody should pray the problem. Do you know that? Don't pray the problem. Pray your desire. That's another message. You got a seventh message today. Jabez prayed his desire. Bless me indeed. He didn't talk about mother. Enlarge my coasts. Let your hand be with me. No evil. My God. God liked it. And he answered his prayer. The shortest biography with a loaded message. Amen. So where are we now? Mouth and? If your mouth and hand are good, you are a good believer. Sometimes mouth is good. They praise, worship, and in times for the hand, somewhere. Jesus said this. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 50. Look at that. Going to see something you never seen before. He led them as far as Bethany. On that mountaintop, he took them to the high point mountain. But he's saying, you can be successful in the natural world like a mountaintop, but I'm going to show you even higher in an invisible dimension. What did he do? Somebody read it. Led as far as Bethany and then he lifted up his hand. And so what are the two members acting in his body? Hands and mouth. He said, hey, disciples, if you forget everything, don't forget these two. These are the important thing. Your hands and your mouth. A lot of Christians have a good mouth. They worship the Lord. They don't have a good hand. When you come before the Lord, every time, you sow seed in every prayer meeting. Even in your prayer meeting, none should come before me empty. I would go even one more step. If you are praying at home, you come before the presence of the Lord. You should have an offering box at home. If you are that serious, you are honoring God. None should come before me empty. Let's analyze it. We got saved, right? Did we do anything? He did it. Got healed freely, right? Got filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Got peace in our family, right? Got a good blessing on job, right? Got good money, right? So how to return God who gave? Can we give him salvation? Can we give him healing? Can we fill him with the Holy Ghost? Can we give him peace? But one thing you can give. Finance. If you do this, you are giving part of your life. Amen? So this man said, Lord, my hands are tied. This is final. That one man said to the pastor, you talk about tithe, the thief on the cross didn't tithe. Why should I? He went to heaven. Well, he was the thief on the cross. You are a walking thief on the ground. Your hands are free. To give it. How did we come to Grace Fellowship? Do you know the story? We're living in Tulsa, Oklahoma. One evening, we are coming from a shopping mall to our home. I opened the mailbox. There was an IRS return check. We are in full-time ministry, filing my personal tax also. And it was $800. My wife said, looks like a seed to me. Let's plant somewhere. Tulsa, a lot of good meetings there, you know. Let's see who is on in the auditorium. You know, everybody comes there. Everybody comes. Benny Ginn, Bonnke, Reinhard Bonnke, in those days, everybody preached in Tulsa. So, Lester Summerall is preaching today. We'll go. We went there. Look at this, the power of the seed. And I saw, $800, we'll round it up, $1,000, I wrote. And put Victory Christian Church, everything written, waiting for the opportunity to sow. We're sitting in the balcony, that's about 20,000 member congregation at that time. And Lester Summerall began to preach, and he looked at the camera. Hey, Billy Joe, you preach all across America. Look at this antiquated, old, out-of-date camera. He needs a good camera, better cam in those days. Don't you think? Yes, we need to get him a good camera today. Good. He's going to do something. We need $100,000 today, he said. I was the first man running with that. He looked at me. You look like a man from India. You are right. I'm not just a man from India. I'm a missionary from India. If a missionary from India can give $1,000, all you Americans run, I said. More than 99 ran. Lester said, my God, you made my job so easy, man. Out of that 99 who ran down, the third man was called Bill Griggs from Kentucky. He said, John Paul, I know you quit your job, gave your house and property, everything, church, you launched for it. I don't know, man. For 6 years, I've been looking for you. Here I see you stand. And said, immediately gave me, I'm in a big investment company. I want to support, send me newsletter every month, $500. Just every month, $500. Just now, $1,000 I gave. Look at that. He's been, and then he increased to 750. He said, to me, you are Kenneth Copeland and John Avanzini. You got both, man. You are for the Eastern world, so I must give what I give them. Okay, do your conviction, brother. Well, I mean, 12 years, you know, just $1,000. How many thousands? And then when we came to Ohio, I called him, hey, Bill, you are in Kentucky, right? I preached in so many states, all the way to Maine, Bangor, Maine, Texas, California, Seattle, Washington. Never preach in Kentucky, man. You must be going to a good church. Why don't you arrange a meeting for me? He said, you know what? You are the right person for the right season. You must come. What do you mean? Our pastor just got turned on to the faith message. He got his left foot of fellowship from them. He left fresh in faith. You are living it. You are the man to teach. Oh, really? Then arrange. And then he arranged with Pastor Callahan. Pastor Callahan put a trial bout at Frankfurt. Let him preach first. Let me see. He came and Bill Griff came. They were there. Frankfurt, I drove the car and went a little early. I went there and parked the car. So looking for the pastor, there was a man with a short pant, with a long hair, with a glass, and sitting on the wall. Looking for the pastor. I am the pastor, he said. Began to teach faith. And then Sunday, pastor said, my God, this is a missionary. I heard him preach, pump faith, saying a lot of revelation. You're going to be preaching every year, not just one time, 4 days, 3 days. They both had three meetings and things like that. And I think every year used to come three times at least. For the last 23 years, we are coming. To be friend for 23 years must be a good people are they. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Today, if you've forgotten anything I said, your mouth and hand matters to God. Your faith matters to God, right? How do you express your faith? Through your mouth and hand. Hallelujah. You are going to be so blessed in the future. Suddenly, some unheard of miracles will come. And then what happened? He arranged meeting, and for a few years, Philip Derber said suddenly, hey, he's been coming every year. We are not supporting him. We need his support. Then Callahan said after a short time too, we must support him. One seed of $1,000 got me for 23 years, man. Seed not only gives you immediate harvest of, from one tree, it gives you seasons of harvest. Amen? Praise the Lord. What a marvelous God. What a marvelous God. People never learn how to sow from Adam days. Adam was not sowing. He was only eating what was already there. He forgot to sow. He did not know sowing is the way to have the living. He did not know. Genesis 2:5 says, God did not cause it to rain because there was no man to till the ground sowing seed. Only the mist from the ground rose up and wet the face of the earth. There are two kinds of blessing. The rain kind of blessing from heaven for the sower, the mist kind of blessing for the non-sower. What is the rain kind of blessing? It will rain, will make the tree grow. The tree won't grow with the sprinkler water. Sprinkler system is for the grass. People who don't have the rain kind of blessing by sowing will live by the mist kind of blessing. Their life will not go higher than man level. It will be below the shoe level of other people's dependence. If you are a rain kind of blessed person, your life will be higher than everybody above. You will be a tall tree with the fruits bearing. Everybody will have to look up to you, not down as a grass. Amen? This secret Adam did not know. He lost what he was blessed. He was given the garden, lost it over one fruit. How silly he could be. Amen? But nobody knew how to sow seed. Even those who walked with God, like Enoch, walked with God 300 years. He did not know how to sow. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, as you increase in faith and knowledge and utterance and love and diligence, increase in this grace of giving. That means you can be a great man of faith, may not be a good giver. You can be a great preacher, may not be a good giver. You may be a good lover, diligent worker for the kingdom, may not be a good giver. Why? He walked with God 300 years. He didn't sow. The only man who sowed was after 1,656 years after Adam, Noah sowed. Noah sowed. And God said, I will not curse the earth anymore. Until Noah sowed, the earth had no rain. God knew he's a sower. He gave the rain of 1,656 years rain in 40 days. God wants to bless you. Amen? So all the years, nobody ate the fruit from the tree. No tree. They were all bushmen eating at the lower level. Amen? Understand it. So when Jesus was sown as a seed at Calvary, the earth was clapping. The curse is broken from the earth. Hallelujah. Shall we all stand up? Everybody say, I will speak the best in the worst condition. I will receive the best from all other people. I will see something nobody could see. Paradise. Everybody say paradise. Paradise. My life on earth. Paradise. Hallelujah. Today. Everybody say today is a new beginning. I am in paradise. Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Well, we're going to take up a love offering.